So 7 years ago, when my wife Sarah and I went on our honeymoon to a resort in the Dominican Republic, we kind of got carried away and signed up for a bunch of excursions, which were basically like these trips that you could take off the resort to go do different things. We got really excited, signed up for a bunch, and one of the ones we signed up for was a trip to go snorkeling. We were really fired up about it. We're like, man, this is going to be great. And we were talking to the guy who was selling us the trip, and he was basically explaining that there were three parts to the trip. So there was a snorkeling part, then there was a part where you kind of drove jet skis around this course, and then there was this part, like the third and final part, was this thing called snuba, which he explained was basically like a combination of snorkeling and scuba diving, where you wear a scuba diving mask, but you don't have a tank. The tank is like up at the surface, so you can kind of act like you're scuba diving and go like 20 feet deep or something like that. And if you know me, you know that when I heard this, I immediately got nervous because scuba diving is like one of my worst fears. You may remember I explained that a little bit in a sermon I preached during our lament series here back in the fall. But so I heard this and I got really nervous. I was like, Sarah, I don't want to do that. And she's like, it's okay. You're going to be fine. It's not going to be that big of a deal. And so I'm committing to it. I'm like, all right, it's our honeymoon. I guess I'll do it. And so we eventually get there. I get the gear on, get ready to go down, and we're like, okay, let's do it. And so jump in, start going down, and immediately I can't breathe, like at all. I'm like, this doesn't work. This is terrifying. So I come back up, and I tell the guy that I'm like, this doesn't work. Like, I can't breathe. And he's just yelling at me in broken English, like, it works. Don't be afraid. You can breathe. And I'm like, that's not helping at all, right? You're making it worse. This is terrifying. And thankfully, I ended up, you know, obviously, I'm here. I got through it. And it's a good story now, but it really was like a terrifying 30 minutes of my life. And I start with that this morning because I think that's kind of what it feels like to hear Jesus saying what he says to us in our passage today in verse 22. When he says to us, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. He's like, hey, do not be anxious about your life. Right? Don't worry. Just don't do it. It's like a crazy thing for Jesus to say. Right? How can he seriously command us not to be anxious, not to worry? Because if you're alive, you're anxious, right? About your life, about what's going to happen to you, about what's going to happen around you. And this has always been the case throughout human history, but I think even more so today. As Sarah Fader, who writes and talks a lot about anxiety, said a few years ago, she said, if you're a human being living in 2017, which is when she said this, but clearly we could insert 2020, if you're a human being living in 2020 and you're not anxious, there's something wrong with you. Right? You and I wake up every day. We've got texts and emails to respond to, social media, news, sports scores to check, family to take care of, meetings to attend, errands to run, bills to pay, right? Tasks to knock out at the office, presentations to give, workouts to do, meals to plan for, books to read, shows to watch, on and on and on we could go. Right? It's like, how could we not worry about that? How could we not worry about our life? Well, the good news is, this isn't some like random guy who's telling us this morning, right? He's just giving us his opinion, who's wrote the next book saying, here's how to live a stress-free life. But this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth to tell us what's true. And so that means that as impossible as this sounds, there is something real here for us. There's actually hope this can be true for you and I today. As impossible as it seems, there's hope you and I can be less anxious about our lives. Hope that we can actually grow in freedom from our worry. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, that we really do have hope that we can grow in this, in freedom from our anxiety and worry. And I want to make an important caveat that I should have made in the first service before I keep going. What Jesus is talking about here and what I'm talking about in this sermon is the general emotional anxiety we feel on a regular basis that all of us feel. I know there's a whole physiological component that's a bigger conversation. So we're focusing on just the general emotional anxiety that you and I all feel on a regular basis. And so let's get into this and let's start looking Let's start by looking a little deeper at this command Jesus gives us. The command I just read, the command we see here in verse 22 of our passage where Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on." And so Jesus gives us this command, but then he doesn't just leave this and go on to some other subject. What he does is he backs it up with logical reasons why we should not be anxious. And he gives us three logical reasons specifically. And we see the first one in verse 23, where he tells us to not be anxious based on the reality of life. It's as if he says, do not be anxious, and then for or because in verse 23, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. And this reason comes in context of what has just happened. You notice there's a therefore at the beginning of this command in verse 22. Jesus basically saying, hey, I'm continuing the conversation that we were just having. And so what was that conversation? Well, Jesus was teaching a crowd, and he was talking about the foolishness of building your life on your stuff. The foolishness of building your life on your wealth and worldly possessions. And to do this, he told a parable about a greedy farmer. But before he told this parable, he basically set it up by what he said in verse 15 of that passage. And he says this to the crowd, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness," a word we could also translate for greed, "for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And so combining that context with what he says in verse 23, what Jesus is saying is, hey, logical reason number one not to be anxious about your life is because life is about so much more than your stuff. It's about so much more than what you have, right? So good first reason. Then he goes on to the second reason in verse 24, and this one is based on value. It's as if he says, do not be anxious because consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And so I don't know what you think about ravens now, but ravens in this context were an unclean bird. So they were like the lowest of the low. So it's almost as if Jesus is saying, if God feeds the lowest of the low, right, how much more will he feed you? Right? You who are infinitely more valuable to him. So that's the second reason, another good one. And then finally, he gives us the third reason not to be anxious about our lives in verse 25 when he highlights the powerlessness that you and I all have. Here's what he says, verse 25. He says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" Jesus says, what have you ever gained by being anxious? Right? What have you ever accomplished? Have you ever even added 60 minutes to your life? Then why do it? Right? We can almost flip it around and say, how much worse have you made your life by being anxious? Right? How many people have you driven nuts by worrying all the time? And so we take in these three reasons, it's like, man, Jesus, you're such a good teacher. You're the master of logic and reason because you listen to his command, this command he gives us, and then these three reasons he lays out, and there's nothing to say. It's like, you're right. Argument over. Why should I ever be anxious about my life? Right? If it's true that life really is about so much more than what I have and my circumstances, if it's true that God really does value me so much, if I'm infinitely valuable to him, and if it's true that worrying doesn't accomplish anything in my life, you're right. Yeah, why would I ever worry? Right? Why would I ever be anxious about my life and what's going to happen to me? But as good as those reasons are and as tight as the logic is, it brings us right back to where we started, doesn't it? Right back to me trying to snooba. I'm like, I don't care how well you're able to explain to me how this thing works. Right? We can go test the air, whatever. I don't care. It doesn't change the fact that I'm terrified right now. And I think it's important to start with this as we think about this, because what this shows us is that anxiety and worry, The anxiety and worry you and I have on a daily basis isn't ultimately about logic. Right? It's not ultimately about reason. I mean, that helps. There's a place for that. Like, these reasons Jesus gives us do help. But that's not ultimately what's at the root of this. That's not ultimately what this is all about. That's not the real cause. And so what is it? Well, Jesus, he brings us to the center of it as he keeps going in verse 27. He says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" So what's the cause of anxiety, of worry in my life and in your life? What does Jesus tell us? Well, he tells us there at the end of verse 28, he says, "O you of little faith." O you of little faith, he says. He says, that's the problem. It's not about logic and reason. Ultimately, it's a faith problem. But what does that really mean, right? Because that's kind of like a vague spiritual statement. Oh, you of little faith, right? What does Jesus really mean by this? Well, in his sermon on this passage, Sinclair Ferguson, which was very helpful to me, by the way, in this sermon, he points out that while Luke doesn't use this exact phrase, oh, you of little faith, again, he only uses it here, Matthew, in his gospel, uses it multiple other times. And the first time he uses it is when Jesus is in a boat with his disciples at sea, and this storm comes, and Jesus is actually asleep in the boat. And they get terrified, and they're super anxious and worried about what's going to happen or if they're going to drown or not. And here's what Matthew tells us as he sets the scene in chapter 8, verse 23. He tells us, "And when Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?'" And then he uses it a little bit later in another scene where the disciples are in a boat, and there's a bunch of wind, it's the middle of the night, and Jesus comes walking to them on the water, and Peter, one of the disciples, sees Jesus, and he gets out of the boat and starts walking to Jesus. And we see this in Matthew 14, starting in verse 28. "And Peter answered Jesus, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' Jesus said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" And so what's happening in both of these situations, if you notice, is this. Jesus is showing the disciples and then Peter that they're focused on the wrong thing. That in both cases, they're focused on what? On themselves and their circumstances instead of the Savior, right? Who's right there with them. And this is what Jesus is showing us in our passage, the same thing. That the cause of your anxiety and of my anxiety is ultimately this: you're focused on the wrong thing. You're focused on yourself and your circumstances instead of the Savior. You get so focused on what you think is going to happen based on what you know about you and what you can see around you, and you completely forget about the one who's with you. Right, who can actually do something about it. And so what happens is you get super anxious. And I think a simple kind of day-to-day illustration where we can think about where this happens to us is just thinking about looking at your calendar and what that does to you. Right? I mean, think about in the morning, waking up, you look at the day, all these things you've got to do, right? All these meetings, all these tasks and different things, even stuff you're excited about. Right? But you start thinking, you're like, how am I going to have enough time to do all that? Right? How am I going to do all that? How am I going to have enough energy? Right? I don't know how all this is going to get done. So that gets you going. And then if you're in a worse place, maybe then you start looking at next week. You're like, oh, I don't know. Same thing. How am I going to do all this? Right? How am I going to have enough time? How am I going to have enough energy? And then if you're in a really bad place, you like black out and all of a sudden you're in July. And it's like, what's going on here, right? It happens to me all the time. I'm getting stressed out even just thinking about it. But like I said, this happens to me all the time. I get anxious all the time about a lot of different things because I get so caught up thinking about what's going to happen, right, and how I'm going to do it. I think the most anxious I've been in a while was back in January when my grandmother asked me to speak at my grandfather's funeral. And obviously that was a huge honor for me, right? Something I was really honored for her to ask me, and I wasn't at all looking forward to it, but there was some sense of gratitude and thankfulness, even maybe excitement of being asked. But I was super scared. I was super anxious about it. And I was because, you know, on one hand, I was so sad, right? And I was just like, how am I even going to get through this? I'm afraid I'm going to be too overwhelmed even just with emotion. But then there was a sense of just like being the grandson asked to speak and represent the family there. It just felt like a lot. And so the whole week leading up to it, I was just thinking, how am I going to do this? And I was incredibly anxious. And you can think about times in your life or ways that anxiety can hit you and how this happens, how this pattern happens to you. See, Jesus tells us this is the cause of our anxiety, of our worry. It's ultimately a faith problem. It's you're focused on the wrong thing, on you and what you can see around you. That's why you're anxious. That's why you're worried. But thankfully, Jesus doesn't just give us like this command with these logical reasons and then shows us the cause of why we can't really do it. But he ends this passage by giving us the cure. By giving us a cure and real hope that we can grow in this. And we as we think about the cure, there's one thing Jesus keeps hammering in this passage. One thing you and I need to focus on instead of ourselves and our circumstances. One thing he wants us to put our faith and our trust in instead, and it's this, it's the Heavenly Father. It's the Heavenly Father. That's what he talks about at the end of this passage. Verse 29, he says, "And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." Jesus says, the Father who feeds the birds, who clothes the lilies and the grass of the field, he's the one you trust. He's the one you focus on. Because he knows what you need. And like the good father that he is, he's going to provide for you. So you actually don't have to worry about all this. Right? Instead, you can relax. You can trust him. You can actually seek him instead of seeking those things for yourself. And it's an amazing promise. Right? It really is. And this is where Matthew's account ends in his Sermon on the Mount when Jesus is preaching this in Matthew 6. And not that it needs anything else, right? It's amazing enough standing on its own. But I'm so thankful personally that Luke gives us verse 32. Because if you're someone like me that's always in your head, like even this promise can make you anxious about being anxious, right? That's what I'll do. I'll get anxious about being anxious. I'm like, oh no, I'm getting anxious, right? I shouldn't be anxious. I should be trusting more, right? And then you keep getting anxious about being anxious. It's this terrible cycle. And so for me and for all of us, verse 32, this is where it's so helpful. And I think this is where Jesus really gets to the heart of the gospel cure you and I need this morning. Because in this short and simple sentence, he tells us so powerfully exactly what's true. When he says this, verse 32, he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." See, the first thing he says here is if we're going to talk about a cure for your anxiety, you've got to first know the truth about you. And here it is. You're a sheep, right? That's who you are. You're a sheep. And I don't know what animal you resonate with if you, you know, when you go to the zoo or like watch Planet Earth or something like that. I know for me, it's always something awesome, right? It's like a jaguar or like a panther or black stallion, something like really cool, right? But you know what I never think about? A sheep, right? I never think about a sheep. Never once in my life have I been like driving and passed a field with some sheep in it and been like, oh yeah, like let's go, right? A sheep. No. But Jesus lovingly says, that's who I am. And that's who you are. And like other than wool and the noise they make, you know what sheep are known for? Being helpless, right? They're not smart. They're not athletic. They're not intimidating. They can't do anything, right? And Jesus is like, hey, that's the point. That's the point I want you to understand. That's who you are. He's like, if that's who you are, of course you're going to be anxious. Right? Of course you're going to get overwhelmed. Of course, living in the broken world that you do, that's going to be too much for you. He's like, Aaron, of course you're going to be anxious about speaking at your granddad's funeral. Like, what else would you expect? Like, that is too much for you. Of course you're going to get anxious all the time. That's okay. And on some sense, on some level, you should be. Because you're just a little sheep. So just be a sheep. Because if we're talking about a cure for your anxiety, the second thing you've got to know is that even though you're a sheep, you're not alone. You've got a Heavenly Father. And a Heavenly Father who loves to give. That's his heart. That's what Jesus says. He literally loves. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And not your own personal kingdom here on earth, right? But the kingdom of his son, the kingdom that's going to last for all of eternity. And it's this famous verse when Jesus talks to Nicodemus in John 3:16, he says this, he said, for God, the Father, so loved the world that what did he do? He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We could say, should not perish, but will have the kingdom. And as Paul says in Romans 8, if this is who he is, right, if this is his heart, if he gave us his son like he has, how will he not also with him give us everything? Everything we could ever need. Romans 8:32, he says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? See, Jesus says to us this morning, that's the gospel cure for your anxious heart. That you've got a Father in heaven who loves you and who loves to give. And so when you're anxious, you don't have to focus on you and your circumstances, but you can focus on him. You can come to him. And how do you do that? Well, the beautiful thing is you come through the one who's speaking to us in this passage, through Jesus Christ, his son. The son the Father gave, the one who came and who was undone by his own anxiety as he faced the cross, as he anticipated drinking the cup of God's wrath that would be poured out on him for us. Why? So that we could be brought into the flock, into the family. And that's really the invitation this morning, right? It's not to not be anxious. That's not the takeaway. Right? It's not to never be anxious again and figure out how to be so strong. You're just not anxious, right? You just don't worry about your life. That's not at all the invitation. The reality is, like, you're going to be anxious in this life until Jesus comes back. I am too. We're going to struggle with this. But the invitation this morning is we don't have to go back on our own resources, right? We don't have to get ourselves out of this ourselves. Instead, we can come to our Father. We can come as the little sheep that we are. We can come to the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit, and we can keep coming moment by moment, day by day. And the really good news is, as we do that over time, you know what'll happen? You'll actually become less anxious. And that's really good news. Let's pray that we can believe it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for this passage that I know I need to hear. Lord, to hear you remind my heart that does get so overwhelmed and that does experience so much anxiety and worry, Lord, that I don't have to be afraid, but I can just be a sheep in your flock, that I can trust you, the good shepherd, who came and gave his life for me and for all of us. Lord, for all of your people, I pray that you would help us to believe that. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to believe it and learn to come to you in our anxiety, ultimately, so that we can begin to experience hope and grow. I pray all this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.